story that's true. A story about a special man that I knew.
The Son of God's come. The Son of God's come.
I'm a witness. I'm a witness. When God came to men, live here is Jesus, my carpenter friend. I tell you the story, beginning to end.
The Son of God's come, the Son of God's come,
and I'm a witness. I'm a witness.
The Son of God's come, the Son of God's come,
and I'm a witness.
My name is Peter. I'm an apostle. Now, maybe I don't look much like an apostle to you. Well, that's because I'm a fisherman by trade. Just a plain man, I guess you'd say, but hey, I haven't come to talk about myself.
Listen to me. This is for you.
I've come to tell you a story that's true. What I have witnessed, I'm telling to you.
The Son of God. The Son of God's come.
I'm a witness.
Listen to me. God came to men.
Live here is Jesus, my carpenter friend. I tell you the story, beginning to end.
The Son of God's come. The Son of God's come.
And I'm a witness.
This is the way it began. Jesus' mother, Mary, was a devout young Jewish virgin who was visited by the angel Gabriel. He told her that she was blessed above all women because she was chosen to be the mother of God's Son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I guess you could say she was the first New Testament believer because she obeyed God and risked losing her reputation, her family, and the love of the man she was to marry. Hey, it took incredible faith and courage to do what she did. But the angel also had a talk with Joseph, her husband-to-be. And he believed, too, and married this lovely girl who was already with child by the Holy Spirit.
And
when Jesus was about 30 years old, he was baptized by John and filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he began his ministry. He came into our little town to teach and turned our lives upside down.
Nothing ever happens here in Galilee. You just follow in the footsteps of your family. Be a fisherman like people say you're meant to be.
Go down to the boat, throw your net in the sea.
Take your turn at the oar,
hoist the sail, mend the net.
Clean the fish, cut the bait,
da-da-down, da-da-dee.
happens to me.
Nothing ever happens here to me anymore.
Every day's exactly like the day before.
You're just waiting, but you don't know what you're waiting for.
You know in your soul that there's got to be more.
Well, nothing ever happens to me.
Then Jesus came, and all of our lives were changed.
He made us fishers of men, fishers of men, sent out to catch them and bring them in, to wake them up, shake them up, teach them truth, and when they're thrilled with God, filled with God, send them out, and then they'll be fishers of men, fishers of men.
Here in Galilee, all these sleepy little villages beside the sea, comes a man of God to tell us what we're meant to be.
He's loving us, keeping us, and setting us free.
Whoa, finally it's happened to me.
He made us fishers of men, fishers of men, sent out to catch them and bring them in, to wake them up, shake them up, teach them truth, and when they're thrilled with God, filled with God, send them out, and then they'll be fishers of men, fishers of men, sent out to catch them and bring them in, to wake them up, shake them up, teach them truth, and when they're thrilled with God, filled with God, send them out.
Now, when Jesus said, "Follow me," he wasn't calling us to an easy life. Becoming fishers of men called for life-changing commitments from us and from our families.
When I wore my bridal veil and wedding gown, I said my vows and dreamed of how we'd settle down. Of course I thought my husband ought to stick around, but now it seems that the man of my dreams is always out of town. Well, I guess I married a traveling man, but I've met Jesus, so I understand that when you find the truth, you will follow him anywhere,
anywhere.
When you find the truth, you'll follow him anywhere. I thought he'd come straight home from fishing every day, but sometimes the way of God is not a woman's way. My mother rolls her eyes and softly sighs, oy vey, and wonders how I'll be able to smile each time he goes away. Well, I guess I married a traveling man, but I've met Jesus, I understand that when you find the
Even when the other brothers and I started traveling with Jesus, we didn't yet realize what he really was, or the extent of the power of God on his life. But our eyes began to open when we went with him to a wedding in Cana. It was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen up to that point. They had run out of wine, and the host was about to be terribly embarrassed. Jesus' mother, Mary, brought the servants to him and said to him, "Do whatever he tells you." Then she just walked away, confident that he could solve the problem. Well, he had the servants fill 6 stone water jars with water and then draw some of it out and take it off to the steward. It had miraculously been turned into very good wine. Nobody would have dreamed he could do that, except his mother, this woman. What an impact she had on my life. If you want to know how to find favor with God, you can't find a better example than this lady. She knows the way.
How did I arrive? How did I come to be the one he chose to bless out of all the rest? Why did he choose me? What do I possess? What secret do I know? What wonders have I done to move the one from whom all blessings flow? Just these words, they're all I have to give. Just these words, they are the way I live. Whatever he says to you, do it, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Saw him turn water to wine, heal the sick, the blind, the deaf, cast out demons. But not only were the things Jesus did marvelous, the things he said were staggering. Listen to some of his words about himself. "The Father and I are one. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Is it any wonder the religious leaders came to hate him? He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Whoever hears my words and puts his trust in him who sent me has everlasting life. He will not be judged, but has already passed from death to life." And he talked about being born again. Unless a man is born again, he said, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born again? But you know, Jesus was talking about our spirits being given birth by God's Spirit when we believe in His Son.
Tell me how the wind blows. Tell me where the wind goes. You hear it singing through the sky. You can't see what you feel, but you know that it's real. Like the spirit in your heart that softly sighs. Born again, you can be born again. You can live in the Father's love.
What kind of a man was this Jesus that he would dare to offer people a new birth? We'd walked with him. We'd seen miracles and heard wonders. But we got our first understanding of who we were really dealing with when a poor widow's only son died. Jesus had compassion on her and simply walked in and raised him from the dead.
Oh,
was more than a good man or a teacher or even a prophet. We saw that this man had life in himself, and he could give it to anyone he chose. We were witnessing something that nobody had ever seen before, and we were just beginning to understand.
Who am I? What are they saying? Do they know the truth, or are they blind? Whoever, what do you call me? Tell me, what is my name?
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ.
You are the Lord.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are my Lord.
Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Had so much to learn from Jesus. Sometimes it's great to learn your lessons secondhand and not have to take all the lumps yourself. And I learned one of my many lessons about the kingdom of God through those two wonderful brothers, James and John, the sons of thunder, Jesus called them, and their mother, who decided to act as their agent.
When you're in your kingdom, Lord, you need a right-hand man. Shouldn't waste time looking. Let me recommend my boys. Oh, I can see there won't be room for them both on your right. So make a nice place on your left so that they shouldn't fight. They're nice boys. See them looking gorgeous, sitting there like kings. You could maybe furnish crowns and how about some rings for my boys? Oh, I can see they'll need new clothes, but we'll keep the cost low. Just tell me what they'll need to wear. I'll be happy to sew for my boys. Oh, I can see them making decisions, looking noble and wise. And in a pinch, if things get busy, I could help advise my boys. Oh, I can see they'll be the ones who will get the job done. Taking control, giving commands, tell me who have the fun. Then my boys, they're nice boys. You couldn't go wrong.
Well, after Jesus had set them straight, he began to teach all of us what it takes to be a great man in the kingdom of God. He said, among the heathen, the kings are tyrants, and each minor official lords it over those beneath them. But among you, it's quite different. Anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. Your attitude must be like my own, for I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom.
Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Oh, Lord, I am willing. Do what you must do to make me like you. Just make me like you. Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too. Oh Lord, I am willing. Do what
as the time for the Passover came near, the people of Jerusalem saw Jesus, this miracle-working rabbi, come into the city humbly riding a young donkey. They ran to throw palm branches and flowers in front of him, and many of them even paved the roadway with their own coats. They went wild. Fickle Jerusalem, how she loved him that day. The people were determined to make him their king, but Jesus knew that it wasn't yet time for him to be king. That God's plan for him just then wasn't rulership, but death. He tried to make us understand, but we just couldn't grasp it. As we shared our Last Supper with him, he tried to show us what his coming death was really all about. A sacrifice for the sins of the world.
Thank you.
Of course, the leaders of the Jews didn't understand God's plan either. They wanted Jesus out of the way, not only because he exposed their hypocrisy, but because they were afraid the people really would make him king, and in doing that, bring the wrath of Rome down on the whole nation. Well, how do you get rid of a popular hero? With money, of course. You hire false witnesses to testify against him, then you arrest him quietly at night. Through the betrayal of a greedy friend. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where we had gone with Jesus to pray, Judas came, bringing the religious leaders and Roman soldiers to arrest him. We couldn't believe it was happening. Frankly, we panicked. Some of us ran. I actually denied knowing him. It was the blackest moment of my life. I couldn't imagine that he could ever forgive me. And then when they had tried him, they condemned him to death. Judas was desperate with remorse and tried to undo what he had done. He went back to the elders and the priests and threw the betrayal money down at their feet.
Here is the money you paid for my kiss. I must have been out of my mind. See, I have sold you an innocent man, and you knew it all of the time. Silver and gold I gained in exchange for my soul.
Nothing Judas could do to change anything, and he knew it. So he went out and killed himself. There was nothing any of us could do but stand and weep and watch them put Jesus of Nazareth to death. From the place of his trial, they marched him slowly through the streets where he had ridden in triumph only a few days before. This time, the king of the Jews wore a crown of twisted thorns and staggered under a heavy cross to a hill called the Place of the Skull. There they crucified the Son of God. Nobody ran away this time. We were all there watching. The disciples, the women, and his mother.
bowed his head, gave up the ghost. And we watched the blood run down his broken body. And we began to understand the meaning of the bread and the wine. We realized that he didn't have to go through any of this. God had laid upon him the sins of the whole world, and he'd gone as quietly as a lamb to be sacrificed. We were watching the greatest act of love the world has ever known. They took him down. His poor dead body prepared him for his burial. They took him down, his poor pale body, drained of life, ashen and stained with its own life blood. His healing hands, now pierced and still. Serving hands that broke 5 loaves to feed 5,000. Holy hands, often folded in fervent prayer. Poor, gentle hands, now pierced and still. His poor, torn feet, now bloodied and cold. Feet that walked weary miles to bring good news to broken hearts. Feet once washed in penitence tears. Poor torn feet, now bloodied and cold. His kingly head made for a crown, now crowned with thorns. Poor kingly head crowned with thorns. His gentle breast now pierced by spear thrust, quiet and still. His poor loving breast. His piercing eyes now dark and blind. Eyes of compassion, warming the soul. Fiery eyes, burning at sin. Tender eyes, beckoning sinners. His piercing eyes, now dark and blind. His matchless voice, fountain of the Father's thoughts, stopped and stilled to speak no more. Silence now, where once had flowed wisdom and comfort, spirit and life. His matchless voice stilled to speak no more. They took him down, his poor dead body, and prepared him for his burial. So we buried him. And we thought that was the end. But it was only the beginning.
alive, and we had him back with us. We were beside ourselves with joy. This was going to change the whole world. Except that it seemed he wasn't planning on staying. He was going to leave and transfer all the power and all the responsibility for preaching his gospel to us. The shepherd was leaving, and he left the flock in our care. If you'd failed him the way I had, how would you have felt when he said, "Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep."
I love you, Lord, and you know I always meant to do things right. I love you, Lord, when I think of how I failed you, I could cry. And when I hear you calling me, I want to run high. Yet you know I love you so. I love you, Lord, although I know my heart may not seem true. I love you, Lord, and I prayed for one more chance to prove I do. I want to leave the past behind and feel your smile again. Oh, Lord, you know I love you so. I love you so. So if you find it in your heart to let me start again, I'll be your witness, Lord, your witness, Lord, your witness to the end of my life. Let me make it right. Let me try again. I'll be your witness to the end. So if you find it in your heart to let me start again, I'll be your witness, Lord, your witness, Lord, your witness to the end of my life. Let me make it right. Let me try again. I'll be your witness to the end. To the end.
For 40 days he appeared to us and taught us about the things of the kingdom of God. Then one day he told us we were to go and make disciples of all the nations, to go into the whole world and tell every creature the good news of redemption through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But he told us to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit should come and fill us with power, and we would become his witnesses. After he said that, an amazing and wonderful, awful thing happened. He was caught up into heaven in a cloud and carried out of sight. Then angels came to us and told us that Jesus would come back in the same way we'd seen him leave. But when he was gone, it seemed that most of our courage and zeal had gone with him. I've never felt so alone in my life.
Now the shepherd's gone. Lambs alone, who will tell them?
could it be? He expected so much of us, and it all seemed so far beyond our abilities. But he had promised us a comforter and a source of power, the Holy Spirit. He had told us to wait, and we waited.
It was the day of Pentecost, and God poured out power on his baby church. We who had denied Jesus ran out into the streets like drunken men, shouting the mighty works of God. There were Jews there that day from every country under heaven, and every man heard the praises of God in his own language. The prophecy of Joel, given hundreds of years ago, was being fulfilled right before our eyes.
Your sons and daughters are prophesying in the streets.
Get ready!
Your young are seeing visions and your old are dreaming dreams.
Get ready!
This is the beginning of the ending. For the day of the Lord, get ready for the day that God is sending.
When the sun is gone, moon turns blood.
Hear the Spirit shouting good news from heaven today.
Get ready.
He is reaching out to rescue all who call upon his name.
Beginning of beginnings, the day that brings the mercy of God.
Get ready for the grace the Lord is sending,
while he offers you salvation through his blood.
For God has sent a mighty man upon you, save you from the judgment.
Jesus, who was crucified, is still both Lord and Christ, Messiah, and there is salvation in no one else. So repent and return to God so he can cleanse away your sins. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has this life, and he who does not have the Son does not have this life. So confess him as Christ and Lord of your life. Be born again and receive that life from him.
Come to